The Truth News Network. When the media spread their web of lies, you need a guide to walk you through the labyrinth. His name is Newman. Dan Newman.
And that's me, and we are here to walk through this valley of the shadow of socialism today together. And that's what we're discussing. I am sick and tired of hearing all of the cries against capitalism and for socialism. Why am I so sick of it? It's because the people that are crying about it and promoting it don't know anything about what socialism is. Well, folks, election 2020 is here. Hardcore socialism is front and center again. You better hide. In 1936, when FDR sought re-election to the presidency, some of his critics labeled him a socialist. The charge was so bombastic that FDR's White House moved quickly to rebut it, labeling it an accusation, quote, which no patriotic, honorable, decent citizen would purposefully inject into American affairs. That was then. Today in America, for the first time in nearly a century, socialism is no longer a dirty word or a nasty label for many people. On the contrary, President Obama, remember, with a minimum of controversy, reopened relations with the socialist regime in Cuba, demanding almost no concessions in exchange for becoming the first U.S. president in almost 100 years to visit the island. On the evening of the president's arrival, Cuba's Ministry of Foreign Affairs declared that Cuba, together with China, was committed to the irreversibility of socialism. Meanwhile, the overwhelming and improbable support among America's youth for the 78-year-old Bernie Sanders, I think he's 78, maybe 77. He's bumping 80, though. Bernie Sanders, a self-described democratic socialist who once proudly defended communist dictatorships across the world, is the latest example of historical illiteracy that treats socialism as a benign economic system that is more equitable and fair than is capitalism. And that, folks, is just plain nuts. A Pew poll shows a staggering 69% of voters under 30 expressing a willingness to vote for a socialist for president of the U.S. Look at Sanders' lead in Democrat Party polls as the 2020 primary season ramps up. A more recent YouGov survey found that voters under 30 actually have a higher opinion of socialism than they do of capitalism. For older people, socialism is associated with communism and the Soviet Union and the Cold War. So says Michelle Diggles, a senior policy analyst at Third Way, a liberal D.C. think tank. Liberal, here we go again. The oldest millennials, she continued, were 8 years old when the Berlin Wall fell. They have never known a world where the Soviet Union exists. The connotations associated with the word socialism just doesn't exist with millennials. Watching the false hope of socialism be resurrected in the midst of the ignorance of basic 20th century history is particularly threatening, and it blows my mind. Young people today are really not taught about all of world history, just the portions today's socialist teachers and professors care to discuss as relevant and appropriate for Americans' young learners, and eventually America's young leaders. Now, all teachers nor all professors are socialists, I get that. But it's tough to find a high school in a U.S. major city or a university anywhere in which a majority of teachers and professors do not outwardly, verbally, and loudly support socialism. Today, 20% of the world's population continues to live under communist regimes in China, Vietnam, Cuba, Laos, and North Korea. These countries are some of the worst violators of human rights in world history. China operates its own gulag system of labor camps for political prisoners. Now, I'll bet you this. Ask your kids, your millennial children, and maybe even grandchildren, what's a gulag? They probably can't even tell you what it is. We know what it is because we were alive and we were all over what was going on in the Soviet Union, the USSR. Cuba's leaders routinely throw their opponents in prison, despite Raul Castro's misleading comments at his news conference with Obama during Obama's visit there. There remain more than 50 political prisoners in Cuba, which the new president in Cuba still denies. Maybe we should have seen this loss of historical memory coming a quarter of a century ago after the collapse of the Soviet Union. Perhaps we should have heard the alarm bells of a 2011 Newsweek survey that reported 73% of Americans couldn't correctly say why we fought the Cold War in response to a question taken from the official test for U.S. citizenship. And there's another thing. Ask your children and your grandchildren, what was a Cold War? And see if they can tell you what it was. Ignorance of socialism and America's decades-long struggle against it has become the norm, and the data suggests this norm will only harden as this generation of Americans pass away and national memory fades and the folks right behind us, the millennials, take over. For a generation with no memory of bomb shelter drills or sledgehammers smashing the Berlin Wall to pieces, the sad reality of life under socialist rule has been forgotten, and the lessons of the Cold War have been relegated to the ash heap of history, right alongside communism. They forget about the ones we mentioned just above that are still blazing communist regime-run countries. Instead, the concept of socialism has often been confused with liberalism. Socialism seems like a good idea that means more socially equitable society for everyone. You know, free health care, free education for starters. Socialism conjures the image of a place like Sweden and Denmark, which, contrary to popular belief, are not socialist systems at all. In fact, the Danish prime minister responded to claims that Senator Bernie Sanders, old Bernie, put out there over and over and over again in his campaign that the Scandinavian countries were socialist by saying this. Now, this is the Danish prime minister, quote, Denmark is far from a socialist planned economy. Denmark is a market economy, which is another name for a capitalist market economy. Socialism is not roads, it's not welfare, and it's not free education. Let me repeat that. You may want to take that phrase and give it to the socialist wannabes in your family. Socialism is not roads, is not welfare, and it's not free education. Socialism has always had a more ominous goal and shares close historical and ideological connections with more reviled terms like Marxism and communism. Karl Marx took socialism to what he viewed as its natural conclusion, the abolition of private property. It's horrifying to those of us who remember the slide from socialism into communism by those countries in Eastern Europe. I was a little kid, but when the bits and pieces that leaked out in the news that I was able to see, read, and hear about, they were horrifying. Soviet Russia during the Cold War killed untold numbers of its own citizens as part of its former socialist, then communist, hard-nosed governing. They killed their own people, folks. As we face the 2020 election, Democrats are scrambling on the campaign trail to chase that elusive Democrat nomination to run against President Trump. The elusive pipe dream of the utopia of socialism is their promise of the day. All but two of the Democrat candidates have left the door open to running in the general election, if they get the nomination, as a Democratic Socialist candidate, whatever that means. And they all promise Medicare for all, free college, the Green New Deal, and other socialist ideals that are as practical and real as are the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus. And I hope I didn't just break your hearts. Surely, you're all above the age of 12. You don't believe in the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus anymore. You are Santa, and you are the Tooth Fairy. It's bad enough that these candidates, who are almost all in the federal government today already, are actually promoting this totalitarian light economic system to Americans. But millions of millennials actually believe the government can underwrite $100 trillion plus of extra money to underwrite the socialist manifesto that they're pushing on the campaign trail. They sell it as, quote, equality, fairness, and America's wealth spread equally rather than being held by 5% of the nation's population. Class warfare, incidentally, along that line, is a long-running theme in socialism, even in this country. American socialist and failed presidential candidate Eugene Debs, bet you never heard that name, old Eugene, promised a world where, quote, no man will work to make a profit for another. That's kind of the antithesis to capitalism, isn't it? You have employees, you start a company, your own company, invest your own money, start a company, you hire employees. They work, not just for a paycheck, but they work so that a little extra above what they cost the owner can be profit. So that kind of kills old Eugene's idea that no man will work to make a profit for another. That's what they do. That's what I do. Even earlier, French socialist Jean Jaurès lamented, "All this misery, all this injustice and disorder results from the fact that one class monopolizes the means of production and of life and imposes its laws on another class and on society as a whole." Jaurès said that to equalize things, quote, "to break down the supremacy of one class, the ultimate aim of socialism, whether collectivist or communist, is to transform the capitalist property into social property." What is that difference? Can you kind of give us the details of what that really means? Going to do that in just a second. Right after this at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
Real truth, real news, TNN, the Truth News Network.
Hello?
They're lying to you.
Lying? Who is this?
You think you two are happy?
I'm sorry,
You think you're in a good relationship? You're living a lie. You're being deceived. They're fried.
What?
In oil.
What exactly are we talking about here?
You're nuts.
My nuts?
Your nuts. Your precious snack nuts are fried in oil.
Ugh. No one ever told me they were fried. I thought they were a good choice.
You didn't hear it from me. But Fisher oven-roasted nuts are never fried. They're just nuts. Oven-roasted with sea salt. That's it.
Huh. What a nice man.
Fisher oven-roasted nuts. Never fried. Nothing to hide.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
CBS, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, CNN.
An alphabet soup of lies, myths, and disinformation. For real nutrition, you need a full plate of truth. TNN, the Truth News Network.
No disinformation here. In fact, we're clarifying what socialism really is. We went into the break talking about transforming capitalist property to socialist property. What is that? Well, something legitimately purchased, inherited, or otherwise earned is called capitalist property. That's the stuff you bought or you inherited, your home, some property, a business, whatever. They're going to transfer it into social property for everyone. That's where socialism becomes dramatically scary. This promise of redistribution always involves winners and losers. And who chooses winners and losers? The government. What if one has acquired the property by purchase or inheritance and doesn't wish for it to become social property? Well, then the government might have to step in and just take it. The loss of private property, which guarantees one's independent livelihood, is going to result in the abolishment of one's ability to exercise free speech. Now, how do I connect those two? Listen closely. What if the owner of some capitalist property taken by the government dares to protest the government taking it from him or her? That sort of dissent got to be stifled to maintain order in socialism. So free speech is replaced by government-sanctioned propaganda. Unpopular opinions are shamed, and those expressing them are barred from discussions or seminars, columns or talk shows, even on colleges and universities. That would be the Democrats' way of getting rid of Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, and boy, would they love that. How do we know that's the way it works? Well, because we've seen it happen over and over again. 100+ years ago, the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia showed the danger of combining socialist ideas with totalitarian violence, which created modern totalitarianism called communism. It was Bolshevik leader Vladimir Lenin who expressed a sort of unifying theory, finally installing Marx's goals. Quote, in striving for socialism, Lenin said in 1917, we are convinced it will develop into communism. The result in more than 40 national experiments since then has been either totalitarian dictatorship or economic collapse. Every time, folks, one or the other, costing some 100 million lives before the communist experiment collapsed in Europe and in the Soviet Union. To be sure, not everyone in these societies was a loser, which gets at one of the great paradoxes of all socialist systems. The extreme inequality that allows a cabal of party members to control the political and economic power in a country while ignoring an overwhelming majority of the citizens. That's the way it happens. Only socialist countries have achieved the distinction of launching rockets into outer space while millions of their citizens starve to death in famine. Now that's inequality. The Center for Global Policy at George Mason University has recorded an interesting historical development. Its Political Instability Task Force plotted a chart showing the percentage of countries in which mass killings were occurring from the end of World War II until the present day. For most of the second half of the 20th century, that percentage increased steadily. Then, in the early 90s, a huge drop occurred. And in the last decade, we've seen the lowest percentage of countries on Earth with ongoing mass killings ever recorded. What happened in the early 90s? The Cold War ended. Millions were freed from behind communist walls and secret police holding cells. This was also when our millennial generation was born. There's a very wide generation gap in today's socialist comeback. Nate Silver points out that while polling shows a plurality of voters under 30 supporting socialism, that figure drops to a mere 15% among those over 65. The reason for this is not difficult to see. It reflects a difference in personal experience. Millennials either missed the Cold War entirely or were young children in its final years with little or no concept of the triumph of liberty achieved with the fall of the Berlin Wall and the collapse of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, the USSR. They don't understand the menace that socialism, combined with power, posed to the people it enslaved and to the free nations that it threatened. The violence and brutality of the communist regimes of the past mean nothing to millennials. They're just lines in a history book somewhere between the Spanish-American War and 9/11. That's their perspective on it, folks. It's more personal for older Americans, though. Perhaps some of their friends or neighbors, or they themselves, arrived in this country just ahead of Soviet tanks that were rolling into their homeland. Perhaps they remember the stories of citizens of these supposed utopian socialist prison states arrested, disappeared, tortured, or shot simply for trying to cross a border. Perhaps they remembered cowering under their school desk during drills in case of a nuclear attack planned in communist Russia and launched from communist Cuba. That was my generation. I remember getting under a desk. This is the context young American voters should know as they prepare to cast their vote this year. November 2020, it's a big deal. Many of them are going to vote for the very first time, too. We should all remember the power of words and ideologies and how debunked ideas can flourish again as memories of their failure fade. They're easily forgotten. We can't forget the lessons of history. All of us, but especially the youngest among us who will have to live in that world for the longest, should make this election about the future by rejecting the ugly, violent legacy of socialism's past. And we moms and dads, and grandparents too, should make certain that our kids and grandkids know the differences between capitalism, socialism, and communism, and not just the good of each. Take some time and visit with them, giving examples of each, both the pluses and the minuses. They're pretty smart these days, folks. They can tell when you're trying to con them. Tell them the truth. Millennials may be torn 100 different ways with distractions of unimaginable kinds to us, but we cannot afford for their children to live through a generation of more lies and mischaracterizations of capitalism, socialism, and communism. Not knowing something doesn't make somebody stupid, folks. Not knowing something for certain and not getting the truth means somebody is stupid. We're not stupid. and our kids certainly aren't. We need to make sure they know their choices and know the truth. Socialism, it's staring us in the eye. One more quick thought in closing. Do you remember that when Ronald Reagan ran for re-election, he fought socialism? That's right. In his campaign for a second term, Democrats were touting socialized medicine. They didn't call it Medicare for All, but they were trying back then to bring Medicare for All / socialized medicine to the United States. So evil's back. It's trying to get a foothold in the United States, and we're not going to let it. Thanks for being here today at Truth News Network. Thoughts, comments, email me, dan@truthnewsnet.org. dan@truthnewsnet.org. Till we get together again. That's it. Thanks for being here. Have a great day. So long, everybody.
Undeniably the go-to source for nonpartisan, spin-free news from the world. TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.